Пуст, а не подойдут ко мне. Do you understand what I just said? Unless you speak Russian, you would never be able to understand the words, let the little children come to me. Jesus wants to speak to all children in every land, and your church's Sunday school can help. For just $5 per book, your students can adopt an LHF mission project that will provide Bible storybooks to waiting children in other lands. Learn more at lhfmissions.org/children.
Listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
It's an iron ladle today, and I'm so excited because we're talking about the food in the Psalms. I don't know how many times we have hyped this episode. I mean, we all love talking about food, so let's be honest. We are in the midst of our Psalm series. And so today we're talking about food. And Erin, what do you have for us?
Yeah. So I'll just say right away that this is going to go off the beaten path for the typical iron ladle episode structure.
This is not going to be everyone bring a recipe and Erin wins, which is how it normally goes.
So this time, well, with all of our talk about Psalms, I found myself, as I started to research with what I could do, there's a lot of ground to cut. The Psalms is, that's not exactly a single ingredient sort of focus.
No.
So
you may not have thought this through all the way.
it was indeed a much more challenging angle for an episode than I expected at the beginning. But then I got really interested in it. So I had a lot of fun trying to just think through different possibilities. So we're going to get sort of a culinary arts experience.
Ooh.
We're going to say we're going to cover a lot of ground with this one. So with this, I actually have a number of Psalms that I'm actually going to just either quote from or read sections of as we go through them. So to get started, I'm going to first talk about a sobering psalm about food.
Sobering psalm.
Okay. So to find food, I mean, I suppose I could have started by just like flipping through a Bible and looking for food words that jumped out at me. But in my mind, I thought, oh, that there's so many psalms that's going to be challenging.
A sobering psalm about food, is this going to be akin to those people who like to drink 2 glasses of water and maybe take some Metamucil before their meals to keep their appetites low?
No. Basically,
so this will not take away my appetite.
No. Good. No. maybe one of the later ones will, but it's very brief. Basically, as I start, I was like, okay, I'm going to take advantage. Sarah, you talked in a recent episode about utilizing the tool hymnary.org.
Yes.
I chose to utilize the tool Bible Gateway, I think also .org. Great tool, allows you to highlight things. Although I will say that I was irritated later to discover that when I highlighted a passage, when I went to go to find my highlights, it had put each verse individually linked.
Oh no.
I was like, it was fine. They were still grouped together. It was fine, but it was not exactly what I expected. But that's small potatoes, because it was very helpful for me to be able to, I would get ideas and I'm like, does this word show up in the Psalms? And I'd punch it in, and sometimes it did and sometimes it didn't.
I did the exact same. You know how much easier this iron ladle would have been if we had gone with Song of Solomon?
Huh?
Just going to say.
Know. You're right. You're exactly right.
Yeah. We would have a whole world of spices opened up to us that is not available to us in the Psalms.
Yeah. So I'm going to instead, we're going to start here with a sobering psalm about food. And this I'm pulling from Psalm 78. Mm-hmm. specifically 18, Psalm 78, verses 18 to 20 and 23 to 31. So they tested God in their heart by demanding the food they craved. They spoke against God, saying, "Can God spread a table in the wilderness? He struck the rocks so that water gushed out and streams overflowed. Can he also give bread or provide meat for his people? Yet he commanded the skies above and opened the doors of heaven, and he rained down on them manna to eat and gave them the grain of heaven. Man ate the bread of the angels. He sent them food in abundance. He caused the east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power he let out the south wind. He rained meat on them like dust, winged birds like the sand of the seas. He let them fall in the midst of their camp and all around their dwellings. And they ate and were well filled, for he gave them what they craved. But before they had satisfied their craving, while the food was still in their mouths, the anger of God rose against them, and he killed the strongest of them and laid low the young men of Israel." So that was the section of that psalm that really spoke about eating. And I thought it was a good place to start still, because we do say that God provides for all of it. And sometimes we as humans get mixed up with food, especially with wanting what we want and saying, "Oh, I don't like that," and just complaining. And this one, he provides everything. And then sometimes gives you what you ask for so much that you realize that's not really what you want at all.
Yep. That's accurate.
So I'm gonna also cover here. You'll see where I'm going with this as we move along. So some additional troubling psalms about food, but nevertheless, I'm pulling them into this discussion because they offer a more varied palate for us, more varied pantry from which to eat. So Psalm 78, also Psalm 78, verse 47, "He destroyed their vines with hail," but here's why I'm pulling it in, "and their sycamores with frost." Oh. Now, it turns out sycamores in this case is most likely referencing the sycamore fig, not sycamore tree.
Oh. Gotcha.
So, yeah, because sycamore trees, they're pretty frost resistant, but the sycamore fig, you know, figs are going to be tender. Yeah. So we've got figs as an offering to consider in the Psalms. It doesn't say figs, but you get the implication of it.
Okay.
So Psalm 37, verse 2, "For they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb." So now we've got some green herbs to work with. Uh-huh. Not real specific, but still, it's something that sounds like you can eat it. Okay, now this one is more of a stretch, but work with me, okay? Psalm 69, verse 21. "They gave me poison for food," but not that part. "And for my thirst, they gave me sour wine to drink." Now, in my mind, I'm thinking exactly vinegar. So now we've got the green herb and we've got vinegar. This is a salad, right? This
is
a salad. Or pickles, either one. Sure. Yeah. We could take it in a number of directions. So sour wine, we're going to go with that for vinegar. Now we can make dressings and pickles indeed. Okay. Another troubling psalm, but it will give us some more options for eating. Psalm 55, verse 21. "His speech was smooth as butter, yet war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords." But still, it references butter. Butter doesn't show up much in the Bible.
Yeah, oil is much more common.
So, but here we've got butter. So that's great. I love cooking with butter. This is, it's an excellent option.
Life is looking up.
Yes.
If there's butter.
Now, next psalm, Psalm 74, 14, is also, it's somewhat questionable because we're not real sure exactly what the Leviathan is. But it says, "You crushed the heads of Leviathan. You gave him as food for the creatures of the wilderness. And what were the Israelites but creatures of the wilderness when they wandered for 40 years in the desert? So we've got some sort of oceanic beast that we can eat. So it's a little vague, but maybe there's some options.
If you pull lobster out of Leviathan, that will be an exegetical stretch for me. But the
yeah.
We're having Leviathan stew, everybody.
Exactly.
With butter.
Oh, So we've come up with a few options here. So now I'm going to try and sort of look at the Psalms. It got me thinking of like, okay, can we look at Psalms as sort of a grocery store? So I'm going to assemble a few more options for us to consider for our, because iron ladles, you need some ingredients to work with.
You do.
Okay. So first, I'm going to start. I probably should have organized this in a different order, but that's okay. This is, we're going through the grocery store on a more of a, you're not going through it strategically necessarily as far as the order that you're going through it. But anyway, first we're going to consider pantry staples. Okay. These are shelf stable items. So first I have Psalm 144, verse 13. May our granaries be full, providing all kinds of produce. So, to me, this says wheat, corn. Well, no, not corn, because corn is a New World crop. So, wheat, rice, oats, but also things like turnips, pumpkin. Mm-hmm. No potatoes, alas. But carrots, and I would say cabbages are they're a pantry staple. They can
and don't neglect your legumes. Lentils were a staple crop there too.
I did neglect my legumes, and we should definitely include the legumes and also those dried figs that we got earlier from the sycamores.
Yeah.
They can also go into these granaries that are providing all kinds of produce. Okay. It's sort of the root cellar grain area. Mm-hmm. That we're working with. Okay, next. Next, we continue on to the meat locker.
Ooh.
Yes. Also, Psalm 144, verses 13 and 14. May our sheep bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our fields. May our cattle be heavy with young, suffering no mishap or failure in bearing. May there be no cry of distress in our streets. So we have mutton and also lamb. We've got beef and also veal, because I had to double check to be sure. But yeah, veal is just young cow. Mm-hmm. So if we've got our cow heavy with young, suffering no mishaps or failure, then we've got access to veal. So that's nice. And I didn't put it down in my list, but I should have. We can also offer up, I think it's Psalm 42. Is that the deer? Yeah, as the deer pants
you
for the water.
That's mine. That is mine.
I'll take it back. Jump in here.
Okay. I was looking through your list. I'm like, she didn't take mine. She didn't. She just took mine.
I was leaving it out originally because I thought it was Sarah's. And then she was like, she's got dessert. And I'm like, oh, well, never mind.
No.
Okay. That's okay. You're right. There's venison.
Venison. Yes.
However, I can actually eat the meats that you're saying. So
yeah, okay.
If I wanted to make something nice. That I could actually eat.
Nice.
There we go. There's my food.
Okay.
Eat all the sheep and cow and deer. Yeah.
So I'm also going to include some poultry in this mix. We've got Psalm 8, verse 8a. I'm giving a very short because we are being very cherry picking on this one. It says the birds of the heavens. So we're gonna shop them. Psalms, it is surprisingly light on bird references, especially ones that seem like they could be eaten.
Yeah.
Now, this is the one that I was referencing before, Rachel, that there is a Psalm 79 is an unhappy psalm. I'll say that. Mm, and Psalm 79, verse 2, is they have given the bodies of your servants to the birds of the heavens.
Yeah, I
food.
I don't think we're going to want to get our bird poultry from there, because that's all carrion birds.
Vultures, yeah.
We carrion, don't eat vultures or eagles.
You don't want a carrion animal.
No.
Which honestly, Leviathan sounds a little bit alligator crocodile-ish. Yeah. And those are also carrion, which is why I always... They're scavengers, at least, and I just always feel a little weird about eating the scavenger animals.
Of course, crab is scavenger as well.
I'm opposed to crab unless somebody else picks it for me, because I'm tired of it's just so much painful work for not enough reward.
Yeah,
so I've sworn off crab. But you're right. It is also a carrion eater, so... Ah, well, we're all inconsistent in some ways. Moving on, indeed, to the seafood counter, though. Psalm 104 gives us, here is the sea, great and wide, which teems with creatures innumerable, living things, both small and great. And, I mean, in David's time, they would not have eaten shellfish. But to me, that does sound like small creatures that are teeming there. And I live after Christ, who has fulfilled the old covenant completely and established a new one wherein I can eat the shellfish. So I'm claiming this one as well for us. There are some specialty items that we can have. Psalm 92, verses 10 and 14, but you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox.
Ooh.
You have poured over me fresh oil. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. So now we have either bison or buffalo. Honestly, I should have stopped to Google it, but what, anyone know the difference between a bison and a buffalo? Are they two names for the same thing?
Oh, what we often refer to as the buffalo is actually the American bison.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So buffalo is an old world animal.
America has the bison. The new world has the bison. The old world has the buffalo.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to pretend that a wild ox is a buffalo.
That's good
for
stuff.
Purposes of it. Yeah. Yeah. That's a nice variety.
Probably my favorite meat that you've mentioned so far.
Okay.
Bison.
You love it?
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. So good.
Okay. And I mean, we've got fresh oil, which is great for our, vinaigrette that we had working earlier with the green herb and the sour wine. So now we've got some fresh oil with that. We've got, and then here, I am very intrigued by this. They still bear fruit in old age. They're ever full of sap and green. I am declaring this our access to maple syrup. So maple syrup, it is a specialty item. But we've got trees that are clearly full of sap, and you're going to make syrup.
Gotta have that sweet sap.
That's right. Mm. That's right. So now let us consider, I do have a thought on a recipe, but Sarah, I know you had a special dessert that you wanted to discuss. I also have a dessert, so I want to let you go first, because if mine is the same, I'm not going to steal your thunder. I did that inadvertently with Rachel.
That's okay.
Intentional. So
I was Sarah. Totally going to steal your thunder because your dessert and my dessert are the same, but you don't know that yet.
I would be really amazed if yours is the same as mine. I don't know what you have.
Oh, well, let's find out.
Okay, so the dessert I have is inspired by the fact that I grew up in Michigan, which is very heavily Middle Eastern Arab population. So I'm familiar with a lot of food and desserts that come out of the Middle East and biblical area. Mm-hmm. And there is honey in the Psalms. It's mentioned not very much, like once maybe. Right?
No, more than once, but still. Not many times, not to many be fair. Times. Not many times. I think it might be twice.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's not a lot. But then I was inspired by the fact that we go to a Yemeni coffee shop regularly when we go to Dearborn. And Yemen, for a historical reference, is south of Saudi Arabia, which in biblical times would have been Sheba
in the Arabian
area.
Yes.
It doesn't really have a lot to do with a dessert, but... Kaliat al-Nal, a.k.a. honeycomb buns, is my dessert.
Tell us more.
So not where I thought you were going. And I'm very excited to learn about this.
So this, it actually looks like honeycomb when you bake it. It is a beautiful looking dessert. Full disclosure, I've never eaten it because I can't, but my husband loves this. Mm. It is so good. Shout out to Kawa House in Dearborn. That's where we go. They're from Yemen and make Yemeni coffee, and it's just the best stuff ever. But this is like, it looks like honeycomb, okay. And it's drenched in cardamom-infused honey.
Mm. Ooh.
And it's packed. I had searched for cheese in the Psalms, but obviously cheese is not in the Psalms. It's not really.
No.
It's mentioned like twice in the whole Bible. So, but it's packed. The inside of the honeycombs, the little pockets, are full of cheese.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got like this dough that's packed with cheese and then glazed with honey. It also has, in addition to honey, the flour and the oil come from the Psalms. But the buns are made of whole milk, yeast, sugar, flour, oil, baking powder, salt, butter, cream cheese, sesame seeds, nigella seeds. So I'm not going to tell you the whole recipe. We can link it in the show notes if you're interested.
Nice.
But it's basically just like this puffy dough that looks like a honeycomb. And then it's got cheese on the inside. And where we go, he just like slathers it in this honey. and you have it, you eat it warm.
It sounds amazing.
I have heard rave reviews
from
my husband.
I've never heard of this dish before, but it sounds like something I would absolutely love.
Kaliat. I might be saying it wrong. I don't speak Arabic. Al nal. And I believe kaliat means honey or honeycomb.
Good stuff.
It is good stuff.
I'm looking at a picture right now. It looks amazing.
It sounds almost like, is it an individual bun that's stuffed? And then there's like, you have a collection of the individual buns that are put into the pan. And that's how you have the look of the honeycomb, because they're pushed to each other.
I'm looking at a picture right now. It looks basically like monkey bread a little bit.
Yeah.
With like sesame seeds and cream cheese on the middle, in the middle, and it looks so good.
Yeah, you divide the dough and the cheese, and you wrap.
Okay.
You wrap the dough around the cheese.
Yeah.
And then you smush it together.
Nice.
And bake it all together.
Nice. Yeah, that sounds fantastic. Mm,
it is good stuff.
Excellent. Rachel, you had come up with actually a menu for an entire meal.
Yes.
Inspired by the Psalms. I would like to hear what you came up with.
Okay. Here's what we got. We are going to have venison from Psalm 42. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. And this will be marinated in wine, olive oil, and dried herbs.
Mm-hmm.
Because you cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth fruit from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart. Psalm 104. There will also be bread.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so much bread in the Psalms.
Yep.
Meat, after it's marinated, will be either spit or barbecue roasted, inspired by the numerous references to sacrifice. In the Psalms, especially Psalm 66.
Methods.
Yes.
Nice.
I will offer to you burnt offerings of fattened animals with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams.
Mm-hmm.
I will make an offering of bulls and goats. So yes, this has to be fire roasted somehow.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
On the side, we are going to have your salad. Yes, Aaron. Okay. Because of the herbs and the leaves and the wine and the sour wine and the oil and all that. Yeah. We're also going to have baked apples from Psalm 17. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wing. We will have, as I mentioned, bread from Psalm 132. This is my resting place forever. Here I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provisions. I will satisfy her poor with bread. And then the dessert. I'm going to actually turn it over to you, Aaron, because
we had the same thought process.
We did, because there is not only reference to bread and to honey in the Psalms. Yeah. But there are numerous references to manna, mm-hmm. which is a very flaky food, the way it's described in the Bible. It's sweet, it's flaky.
Yes.
And so you bring all these together, and there's really only one option. So tell us about it.
Yes. So for that, we are going to have baklava. So baklava, we've got indeed, there's lots of references to wheat. Manna is a great one because of the description of it being flake-like. That is a great description of phyllo dough. So we've got both wheat and manna. We're getting the both adjectives that are needed to create this.
And so much honey.
Just so much honey. So, and yet there is surprisingly few references to honey. You're right, in the Psalms, but there is in Psalm 19.
More references to honey than there are to figs. Just going to put that out there.
I had to reach too far for the
still feels reference. Like a stretch to me.
Indeed. Psalm 19 gives us more to be desired are they than gold, even the much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. And then also Psalm 81 gives us, he would feed you with the finest sweet and with honey from the rock, I would satisfy you. I'm also going to call in the fruit of Lebanon. So let's see. Oh, and I'm going to call in the troubling psalm we mentioned at the beginning, Psalm 55, because that way we have butter to work with. So we've got phyllo dough, butter, the fruit of Lebanon. I'm declaring to be, I mean, Lebanon is famed for its trees, right? And a fruit of a tree is, in many cases, a nut. And it turns out that almonds and pistachios are both very common trees in Lebanon. Walnuts, not so much. But almonds and pistachios are, and they are both great in baklava. So we've got almonds and pistachios that we can work with, and of course, the honey syrup. Mm. So there was one recipe that looked especially good. I've made baklava before. It is a labor of love. It is a time-consuming process, but it tastes like it. When you're finished, like it does, it tastes amazing. It tastes like somebody labored over this because they loved you so much.
Tastes like love.
It does. it is wonderful. And it would be adjacent, you know, it's a similar part of the world that you're Kaliat. What was the other?
Al-Nal.
A similar part of the world. I'm sure there's Yemeni baklava out there as well.
Probably.
So something that I do want to call out as far as shocking absences in the Psalms. Milk. I was sure there was going to be milk. We've got all the references of the promised land being the land flowing with milk and honey. There is nary a reference to milk in the Psalms.
Yeah.
That was really rough. The closest I think you can get is butter, which who knows if this is even just cow butter or maybe it's more of a nut butter. Who knows? I don't even know what's going on there. But milk. There's no references to milk in the Psalms, at least not with the name milk. It's rough. Nuts also, as you saw, I had to reach really stretch it really far to declare that I could use nuts in this with the fruit of Lebanon. I would have expected there to be references to there are references elsewhere in the Bible to nuts, but not in the Psalms.
Same as cheese.
Yeah. Honestly, vegetables in general, there's very little reference to vegetables. There's references to, you know, plants of the earth, but not really as food aside from grain. Like they do have that, but like the vegetables, again, that's why
fruit is broadened to include all fruit fair. Of plants. Fruit of the ground.
Yeah.
Fruit of your hands.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, salt.
Oh.
There are two references to salt in the Psalms, and both are a little bit of a challenge. First, I think it's called a superscript, but it's like the words that sometimes show up at the beginning of a psalm that aren't really part of the actual poem of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, Psalm 60 says to the choir master, according to Shushan Eduth, a miktam of David for instruction, when he strove with Aram Naharim and with Aram Zobah, and when Joab, on his return, struck down 12,000 of Edom in the Valley of Salt. So there, it's not even in the actual poem of the psalm. It's in the preface. And then also Psalm 107 says he turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste because of the evil of its inhabitants. So again, that's a bit of a stretch, and it's a fairly troubling psalm. In both cases, not really sounding like the kind of salt I want to sprinkle on my food, to be quite honest. Anyway, salt. Also, very surprising lack of reference to salt in the Psalms. And also spices.
Yeah.
I expected more references to some spices. Spices.
I also expected more spices. Yeah.
So here's what surprised me is that when we had planned to do this episode, mm-hmm. I remembered all the beautiful feasting imagery in the Psalms.
Yeah.
But I think I conflated a whole lot of other scriptures from Song of Solomon, from Proverbs, mm-hmm. from Job, from Isaiah, know, and sort of like dumped them in my imagination into the Psalms and expected to find all those lovely ingredients there. Mm-hmm. And they weren't.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same. You know, it's a beautiful thing all the same.
It is. But it was an interesting thing to like go digging for some reference of a spice and nothing.
Yeah.
I have, moving away from cooking, but more to kitchen decoration. As I was doing this, I decided that I found a psalm verse that I think would be a great one to be made into a sign for your kitchen.
Oh.
Psalm 4, verse 7. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful.
I feel like that'd be a great one to have on a little sign that's hung up in your kitchen.
Yeah.
Again, I know it was maybe a little unexpected to start the episode with Psalm 78, the troubled psalm, but so much goes wrong when we get things confused and get the order of things mixed up when we aren't looking to God as our gracious creator and provider and the one who has given us everything, but instead just demanding what we're looking for. So, Psalm 4, you have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. I love that. And then also I have a psalm that I think somebody should make for some housewarming cards. Rachel, you quoted this one, Psalm 104. You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart.
I just love that.
You need this done on a card. And then when you go to a housewarming party, you're going to show up with a bottle of wine, a loaf of bread, and a bottle of olive oil. And you're going to give them this card. And it's like, welcome to your new home.
That's an amazing idea.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be great. So I have in a slight preview. Well, actually, before I go to my this thing that's going to close us out. Do you have any other thoughts on the food of the Psalms Iron Ladle Challenge of today?
As I said, this turned out to be more challenging, I think, than any of us had thought.
Yep.
For the reasons expressed above. But I had so much fun with this. Now, obviously, this is all tongue in cheek. We aren't literally, it's not like, you know, you've heard of the Daniel diet. We are not advocating eating only foods that were mentioned in the Psalms. This was a fun creative exercise.
Yes.
So, caveat. Don't take this as the Lutheran ladies are telling us we should only eat things that are in the Psalm.
No. Not even a little bit.
No. Not even a little bit. But I think one thing that this exercise caused me to do, one, it's to do a deep dive in a whole lot of Psalms that I might not have paid attention to otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But two, is to notice how recurring a theme in the Psalms is God's provision, mm-hmm. his love, the way he gives us things that are delightful to us and how much of a feast it is to be one of his people and how much of a famine it is to not be one of his people and all those withered herbs, etc.
Yeah.
That you just see it all played out in this wonderful food-based imagery as part of the poetry of the Psalms. And we'll talk about more about the poetry in upcoming episodes. But
That was last week.
That was We of course talked more about this in our previous episode.
Yeah.
We record these out of order. I'm so sorry. But yes, that this forms a recurrent, powerful metaphor for God's goodness.
Yeah.
Because we all know how delightful honey is. Mm-hmm. We all know how satisfying bread can be. Well, maybe Sarah doesn't know anymore, but
it's sad.
He used to know. And it becomes shorthand for some of the qualities of God and his love in the Psalms. Yeah. And so I really, really enjoyed this tongue-in-cheek exercise. Build your menu out of the Psalms.
Yes.
I think it's cool when we start with something that we physically know very, very well, like honey or bison, and that already evokes something in us. And then when we go and find that somehow associated with a quality of God or God's word, like it just hits a little different. Mm-hmm. When you come at it like backwards, it's just really cool to do that.
They say that the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. Well, maybe in this case, what the Psalms are showing us is that also the way to a man's soul can be through his stomach. That you can get some divine truth sneaked in among the menu choices.
Yeah,
indeed. So I have, for us to close, I have, it's not my submission for the Write This challenge.
Okay.
Oh.
I have, though, because I did not write this. Rather, I have created an assembly, a medley, we'll say, a psalm medley for us on the topic of food.
Ooh.
Okay.
Okay.
So because I'm pulling from many, many places, I'm not going to attribute them all, but they're all almost direct quotes. I changed a pronoun here and there to make it fit as a paraphrase, if you will.
We know about paraphrases now.
I am referring to this since it is an iron ladle as a psalm casserole because it is assembled from many separate ingredients.
I love it.
So,
psalm casserole. Could you also call it a psalm 7-layer salad? I love those.
Yes. I considered also soup.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But I decided casserole felt most Lutheran dish.
Yeah.
So here we go. You've heard most of these already in the course of it, but I'm stringing them together now.
I want to hear them again. They're
more
so good.
Impactful, I think.
Okay.
Okay. They tested God in their heart by demanding the food they craved. They spoke against God, saying, "Can God spread a table in the wilderness?" He struck the rock so that water gushed out and streams overflowed. "Can he also give bread or provide meat for his people? But you would feed me with the finest of wheat, and with honey from the rock you would satisfy me. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. Blessed are the people to whom such blessings fall. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. You cause the grass to grow for livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever."
That was so good.
That was a tasty casserole.
Yeah. I wanted to do sort of the structure that you get sometimes with Psalms, where it starts with like sort of the problem at the beginning, and then it shifts the focus.
Yeah.
So
lovely. Yeah. That was lovely. And that's a nice segue into our next episode. Next week is our Write This Challenge. Mm-hmm. For all those Psalms that all you ladies are going to be writing for us or already have written for us. Either way, next week is our final episode in this lovely series on the Psalms we've been doing. This has been super fun to just kind of consider the Psalms in a variety of ways. It's been inspiring me. So this episode was everything I wanted it to be, just like kind of off the wall and amazing.
Inspiring. Sometimes our own little challenges are just silly, but this one went beyond silly.
Yeah.
And that casserole was wonderful.
Delightful.
Yeah, thank
yes. you. Ladies, we want to know what you would make out of all of the food that Aaron has pulled out of the Psalms.
You can have salt, but no pepper and no spices.
<That's> right.
But bison.
But a few dried herbs are okay.
Yes. That's true.
There's a lot you could do with that. Yeah. We want to know. Comment on this post in our Facebook group, or I don't know, make a meal and post it on our Facebook group or on our Instagram. Tag us at Lutheran Ladies Lounge. You can comment on the posts that we'll be posting on our Instagram during this week as well. Join us in either of those places. You can also sign up for our e-newsletter in the show notes for this episode. And you can find all of our podcasts at kfuo.org/Lutheran Ladies Lounge or on your favorite podcasting app or on the KFUO radio app. You're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
Views and opinions expressed on the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO Radio, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The Lutheran Ladies Lounge is produced by KFUO Radio and available at kfuo.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and leave a review for us too. If you love the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast, consider financially supporting our producer, KFUO Radio, so we can keep doing what we do. Find out how at kfuo.org/give. The Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast is underwritten in part by Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF translates, publishes, distributes, and introduces books that are Bible-based, Christ-centered, and Reformation-driven. Learn more about their global ministry and how to support their projects at lhfmissions.org.